Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's scripture reading is from the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. Here is a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders, so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. In the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be faithful to his wife and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. The word of God for the people of God.
Today we're going to conclude our series of messages on gifts and callings. And we've been talking about, of course, our launching part was in Ephesians. We talked about the fivefold ministry, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers, which God had called. And we're not really his, like, here's your calling, this is what you're doing for all of your life, and that's all that matters. No, they are, as we looked at them, they're gifts. These callings are gifts to help the church be all that it's supposed to be. We also looked at the fact that in each one of these, there are areas that apply to our own lives, even if we're not called to one of those, what we would say, ministry gifts. But today I want to talk about two more that aren't in those fivefold, but are part of our church, bishops and deacons. But as we were saying, these gifts are meant not to help service the people who have these roles in all of the fivefold ministry, and even with bishops and deacons, the role is not to help them, but to help the church. And I would argue, if anyone in a leadership position isn't doing something that's helping the church, we don't need that position. If someone has a position and they're not, and that position is not helping the body of Christ, then we should not have this position. The first one I want to look at is deacons. These are servant providers. Deacons are one who connects the resources with the people who need them. Some examples in the Bible are Ruth, Boaz, Joseph, Phoebe, Timothy, and Stephen, which we come from across in Acts chapter 6, where we first really get a sense of what deacons are in the New Testament church. Deacons were those who were to care for their own, not their own selves, but their own people. They were supposed to care for the people who were under, who they were responsible for, people within the church, especially those who were outside of the normal reach of resources. If you've seen me, you don't have to worry about me finding out where to get a good place to eat. I know where to go. I know how to cook some things. But for the sake of example, you know somebody who seems like they're not finding a good place to eat, they're not eating well, then guess what? You need to, if you're going to be a deacon, you take and you get those resources to that person who's in need of it, who's missing out. In Acts chapter 6, what was going on in the church were the Greek-speaking people who were becoming part of the church. the announcements were held in a sense in Aramaic, which was the common language in Jerusalem at the time. But the Greek speakers were like, what did they say? Now, we don't have a lot of that in our area of the world. In our area of the world, most everyone speaks English. But can you imagine if we were giving a service and part of the service was in Spanish? Let's say all the announcements were in Spanish. How many of you would perfectly understand when things were happening? Maybe one of you. I might catch about 4 words out of 30. We would miss out, wouldn't we? We need somebody there to say, oh, by the way, here's what's going on. And the deacons were there to make sure that these people who needed help, specifically the widows, were making sure they were getting their proper needs met, because they didn't know what was going on because of a language difference. The deacons of this time were there to meet not just the physical needs, but also spiritual needs. But they were supposed to be there to help resource that people got what they needed in their lives. That's what the deacons were there for. We see about deacons, and the deacons should be truthful. They need to be able to be connective, to know where things are and how to get them together. And they need to be resourceful. One of the other things I'll point out in the church, in the book of Acts, they said they wanted to make sure the deacons were full of the Holy Spirit. Because no matter how good you are, if you're not full of the Holy Spirit, then you're going to mess up when it comes to doing the work of God. In the Global Methodist Church, all of our elders or pastors start off as deacons. Now some may say, well, that doesn't line up perfectly with Scripture, with what we see in Acts chapter 6. And I would say, you're right, it doesn't. The terminology is taken, though, because we want our pastors to start off being servants. Start off being there willing to do that work of meeting the needs wherever they're at. We don't want the pastor to come into a role or an elder to come into a role thinking, I've got this high up position. But we want to start off reminding them that every time you step into ministry, it is as Pastor Sam Paget, which I've mentioned before, said, it's a step down, a step into deeper servanthood. And so in the church, in the Global Methodist Church, we ask that our elders start off being deacons, those who are willing to serve in areas where they're not necessarily noticed, but they're areas where they're willing to connect people's needs with the resources available. When it comes to how deacons can do wrong, one is they would have no balance to their lives. We see that, the fact that they need to be faithful, they need to be not given to wine and these other things. What is it saying? They don't have their life imbalanced. Another thing about a deacon, you don't want to be selfish or hoarding. If things are needed, you don't want people to hold it back. I'm part of a church board one time who had funds to do something, and they said, but we don't want to spend the money for that. What if we run out? Well, then we should trust God, right? Nope. We need to hold it just in case. To me, this was not what we should have been doing. There's a time to save, don't get me wrong. But there's also, we don't want to be hoarding. We don't want them to be fearful or indiscriminate or undiscerning. We want our deacons to make sure they're realizing what's going on in the world around us. Deacons need to be given respect, resources to meet the needs they need to get. They need to get recognition and respect. In a very real sense, in our church board serves as deacons. Their job is to take the resources we have as a church and meet the needs that are needed. We need new lighting. Guess what? Our trustees are serving the role of deacons. We also have people in the church that serve in the role of deacons to manage resources about, like, the food pantry, or about giving to those who are in need. Excuse me. Making sure that if somebody is financially bad off, that we're doing something to help them. And though they're not ordained deacons, the role they fulfill in our church is very much that of a deacon. And so when we get ready later to make decisions on who's going to be on a church board and do this, we need to ask ourselves, are they fulfilling these roles? And if they're not, then guess what? We don't want them in that role. You say, but they're a good person. They're not filled with the Spirit. They seem to have their life's out of balance. They're not doing things right in this area. They're an expert in business. Don't care. Are they even saved? Well, they've been at church for 50 years. And are they saved? Well, then, you know, we've got an issue. They shouldn't be in these positions. One other thing to note, in Acts chapter 6, verse number 7, we see that when the deacons did their job, the church grew. When the church takes the resources it has and meets the needs of those within their care, then the church will grow. When the church is not meeting the needs of its people, then guess what? The church will suffer. In the New Testament church in Acts chapter 6, the apostles and the prophets, basically they were the teachers. They said it's not up to us to make sure that all this financial stuff is taken care of. Appoint people to take care of it. And when that took place, the church grew. And sometimes we think, if we just take care of this problem or that problem, everything will be great. But let me tell you something. It's not just the pastor. It's not just a Sunday school class. But when we have to have all our areas working the way they should. And one of those areas is our deacons. And I'll tell you what. From what I've seen in the last year and a half, somebody came to me this morning, and I won't throw the pianist under the bus. Actually, I just did, didn't I? He said, haven't you been here like 3 years? He's like, is that a compliment? Or is like, have it been like, it's been like, you know, like sitting in the hospital room, you know, it's been here for 3 years. It's like, well, I was thinking it as, yeah, this has got to be a good thing. But it's not just having this right person, but when we all do the parts we're supposed to do, the church will grow. The problem with many times is we think, if we get that fixed, it'll take care of it. Here's the thing. The first person you need to worry about is not the guy next to you, but you. Once you are doing all that you know you're supposed to do, then you look up and say, God, where else can I help? What else can I do? And if your position isn't to fill a deacon or pastor or whatever role you think is lacking, then pray for those in that position, or pray that God will bring somebody into that position that is right. Deacons are important for the church. We need those people who are making sure the needs of our people are met. And as far as I've said, in the last year and a half I've been here, I think I've seen that done, taken care of well. For many of you, some of you don't know, but for many of you know, in the last year and a half we've been here, things in our lives have gone crazy. We had plans. This is what's going to happen when we get here. And those plans were like a ship hitting the reefs. It sank quickly. And you all have been great. You have met the needs of your pastor. You have helped support. In the last month, when I was first sick and then with COVID, and then my wife going through stuff, you guys were you were great. And when we see that work out, it makes a difference in the world around us. And you may think, it's not making a big deal. Let me tell you something. When you do what's right, it does make a difference. This is something we don't normally think about. We think about some, especially those who've been United Methodists. We talk about what the bishops did. In the Global Methodist Church, we're getting prepared to decide how we're going to put these positions and how we're going to set them up. And though this is actually later in my notes, I'm going to say it now. It doesn't matter how you define it, what regulations you put on it, what term limits you put on it, what limitations you put on it, or what freedom you give it. If you don't have the right person in the job, people who are God-ordained and set aside for the work that God's called them to do, you will fail. So some people are worried about how we're going to set things up. My personal opinion is it doesn't matter as much how we set it up, but who we put in the jobs. And are they going to be held accountable? But a bishop is an overseer, a watchman, observant organizer. Interesting thing, in the Old Testament Hebrew, the word watchman also covers those people who would watch over the dead. You're like, what does that have to do with a church? I'll be honest with you. Especially in ancient times, those who have died, first of all, need certain respect given to them. But also, if they weren't tended to correctly, what killed those people could contaminate the rest of those around them. What killed this could pass on to someone else. So sometimes you needed someone to be a watchman saying, hold it, don't get any closer. This person is contagious. Don't get close to that. So when we think of a bishop, this overseer, it's not just someone who's looking over the living and being a watchman, but also someone who looks over what has died and said, here's what's going on. Why did this fail? What took place here? You know, I might say, one sense, a bishop is or a watchman is kind of like a coroner. They said, here's what happened. What's the benefit for that? One, hopefully you can keep it from happening again. And second, you can keep what had happened from spreading. What are the responsibilities of the bishop according to scriptures? One, they observe. They're watching to see what's going on. They give warning. Here's what we need to watch out for. And in the church, a bishop who's higher up should be able to look at our organizations and say, hold it, we're not following the scriptures here. We're not doing things right there. They should have a certain ability to anticipate what's happening. What are the trends? What's taking place? Not that we're trying to track trends so we can capture the market or do whatever kind of crazy business thing people do, but we anticipate what's happening because we know, hey, there's something happening here, and if we keep going, this is the our results. Or, hey, guess what? This area is growing. We need to get more leaders there. Also, a certain amount of bishops are a part of the organization. They help organize things. They help set up leaders in the churches. It's what early bishops did. I know nobody in here has ever seen a bishop go wrong. But they can. That's tongue-in-cheek. Many of you know things in churches have. Bishops go wrong when they become domineering. By the way, if you're in leadership, these apply to you no matter whether you're a bishop or a Sunday school teacher. If you become domineering, if you allow things to become disorganized, let me tell you something. We need organization. We need to have an understanding of how things come together. Because if we don't, things don't get done. We mentioned that Joseph was a deacon because he got the resources and made sure the people got it, but he was also a bishop. In the fact that he was overseer and watchman over the country and make sure things got together and the food that was going to be needed was brought to the right places and stored up until the right time. How many of you think that may have taken a little bit of organizational skill? A lot. And that's what we need in someone who's going to be in this position. There are people out there who are nice people. They're great people. They're sweet people. But guess what? You don't want them in charge of your organization. Why? Because they're domineering. Because they're disorganized. The third one I get is they're unwilling to submit to Scripture. They're not willing to submit to what the Bible says. And let me tell you something. As a Bible-believing group, if we're not willing to believe the Bible, what are we doing here? Also, the thing that bishops can be wrong with a bishop is they're blind. They can't see problems coming. As someone who's the head over an organization, you need to be able to look out and say, hey, looks like we're going to have a problem here. The problem in some organizations is they've had leaders who didn't see the problems coming, or what was worse, they saw it coming and encouraged it. But if you can't see what's coming, if you can't understand what the problems are and how you can fix them, then guess what? This is not a position for you. What do we do with bishops? Well, if they're godly, we need to listen to them. We need to apply what they teach and help support them. Now, because we're part of the Global Methodist Church now, I felt it was important to explain some of the things that are happening. Some of you are in on this, some of you aren't. But in the Global Methodist Church right now, there are two models being set forth, basically. One is what is called a regional bishop, which basically would mean a bishop is kind of like the head guy over a region. Currently, it would be like the position held by our president pro tem. His job is to make sure churches get things together, we get organization taken care of, making sure that resources are available, that churches get the pastors they need, that pastors help find places they can minister. The emphasis on more of a regional bishop would be that their job primarily would be that of an organizer, to take care of the business. The second model they're being put forth right now is what's called the general superintendent model. And basically the bishops, though they do have some part of the organization, their basic job is to work over different regions and not just be responsible to one region, but all the regions, and look over and see what's going on and be sort of a spiritual overseer and saying, you know what? Great Lakes region, that's our region, by the way, it looks like you've got some issues here. Some of your pastors are teaching things that aren't right. You're starting to push agendas that aren't scriptural. What's going on? We need to change that. The emphasis for this general superintendent model is to be more an emphasis on a spiritual aspect of an overseer in the sense of looking over all the areas of the church and what's going on spiritually. Whichever way we go, the Global Methodist Church has always said, we're going to have term limits. We're not going to put somebody in a position and say, you're there for the rest of your life, no matter what you do. As long as you don't kill someone or get yourself arrested, you got that position forever. And we're also saying that our bishops are going to be consecrated for a job, not ordained to a position. The difference there is we're going to pray for them that God gives them the wisdom to do this job for the time they're there. But basically what they are, they're elders. They're no different or no better than any other pastor or person in the church. And they are going to be expected to be held accountable for what they're doing. I've talked about before that in the Global Methodist Church, we're trying to make sure that our pastors are holding each other accountable, talking to each other, saying, how are you doing spiritually? What's going on? And if someone goes astray, if somebody starts teaching or believing things that are not scriptural, we're going to ask them to, maybe you should reconsider membership in the Global Methodist Church before we throw you out. Because if someone isn't going to stand by the Bible, we don't need them in leadership, especially in the Global Methodist Church. Now, if you don't believe the Bible and you want to come to church here, great, we'll have you. I'm hoping we'll change your mind. I hope we'll get you saved, but I'm not going to hold that against you. But if you want to be leadership, if you want to have a choice on the destiny of this church, and you don't hold the word of God, then guess what? I got a problem with that. Scripture has a problem with that. And so going forward, our hope is to keep those in leadership accountable, just like we should choose to keep ourselves accountable. And here's where it goes back to us. We can look and say, yeah, those bishops, those leaders, those presiding elders, they need to get in line. No. We need to make sure that we're in line with the Word of God. That we're doing what's right. That we're fulfilling the role God has called us to do. Because whatever model we choose the Global Methodist Church to do, it's not going to matter if we don't keep ourselves locally, regionally, and globally faithful to Scripture and to holiness. Now, some people say like the thing, well, that's to be faithful to Scripture. When we throw the word holiness in there, people cringe. But basically, holiness means we are living like Christ. And that wasn't, shouldn't we be doing that? Jesus didn't save you so you can be a saved sinner. Jesus saved you to make you a saint. He doesn't want to just save you and let you keep living like you've been living the rest of your life. When a doctor gives someone medicine, he's not saying, okay, I want to give you this medicine so you can keep doing the thing you're doing that's causing a problem. What's he doing? I'm giving you this to help you now in the hope that you'll do something to change. And that's what Jesus does. Jesus comes into our lives to help us become more. And the term we use for that is holiness. And if we're going to be as a church locally, as believers, and clearly denominationally, all that God wants us to be, we need to be willing to submit to Scripture and to living a life that He wants. And that's a life of holiness. Is it easy? No. But let me tell you something. Living the life the world lives isn't easy either. Like, telling the truth all the time is hard, yeah. But trying to remember who you lied to is even harder. Did I tell Joe that? No, I told Steve that. I told Joe this. And I sure hope Judy and Joe don't get together because I told Judy something else. Right? If I just tell everybody the truth, hey, that saved me brain power. I'm for that. Living the gospel, living the way Jesus wants to, is actually better for us. And so though it sounds scary, it's the best way for us to live. And though we've been talking about leadership and all these positions, we've also been talking about how those things apply in our lives. You say, well, I'm not a bishop. You're not? Maybe not in the big sense, but are you a watchman? Do you watch for things in the lives of your family? I hope so. Are you a deacon? Let me tell you something. If you're a parent, you're a deacon. Unless you're an absentee parent. Why? Because you're trying to make sure the right resources gets to the right kid at the right time. Because if they don't, you have trouble. Now, a lot of times we all say, well, I'm not that. But let me tell you something. You're more that than you realize. And it may seem overwhelming, the things that God is calling you to do. But God will give you the strength to do it. If God has called you, He will enable you. And as far as the Church of Jesus Christ, as far as all Christians, we're called to be holy. And guess what? He has given us the power to do it. If we'll take it. If we'll embrace it. Because if we don't, our church will falter and fail, just like others we've seen. And I don't want that. Whatever your calling, little or great, do your part, do your role. And here's the big thing, do it in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, if I speak with the tongues of men of angels and do not have love, I'm a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I can even understand politicians and if I have faith that I can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give my body over to hardship that I may boast and do not have love, I gain nothing. Let me tell you something. So we talk about leadership and we talk about how we should do things in our lives. If it's not based in love, it's worthless. You say, how can I apply what I'm hearing? Let me tell you what. Start off right here. Start off walking in love. And God will take care of the rest. If you're walking in love, and living a life of love, God will take care of the details. But if you're worried about everything else and you're not walking in God's love, then you're failing. You're falling short. And guess what? As a church, if we don't walk in love, doesn't matter how great the organization is, we fail. We'll start a new series next week, so if I bored you up till now, congratulations, you endured. But let me tell you something. Each one of you have a role. Each one of you have a calling. And when you do your part, the church grows. You say, I'm not doing much. I'm just trying to take care of my husband right now. Guess what? That touches the entire body of Christ. I just try to make sure to pick out the right songs. It makes a difference. I just try to play the right keys. We appreciate that, and it makes a difference. I try to make sure he shows up on time. We really appreciate that. Each one of us, we do our part. And the church makes a difference. The church does what God wants it to do. And one of these days, we'll stand before Jesus and he'll look at us and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I didn't do much, God. Yeah, you did. Because you are part of something that did far greater than you even realize. And let me tell you something, you may not know what all you're doing, but you are making a difference in the world. See, this church, yes, it does. How? I don't know all how. I've got a few ways I know, but you make a difference. You're a part of something greater, and I'm glad to be a part of that. Let's stand together and sing, the Lord be glorified. Because at the end of the day, he's the one we need to glorify. And now, Father, I ask that you bless each one as they leave from this place today. May your spirit go with them as they share the good news and live forth lives of love. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. God bless you, and may his peace be upon you.